Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 26th of September, 2012, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear our program anytime, anywhere, by visiting one of several websites, buckmastershow.com. We post the program usually by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. TucsonSentinel.com has the program, and TucsonCitizen.com, and GVNews.com. That's the website for the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. They now have a link to our program. Today we continue with our face-to-face candidate series, spotlighting the two gentlemen running for the state Senate in District 10. State Senator Frank Antonori is a former state representative who is completing his first two-year term in the state Senate. Senator Antonori is a highly decorated Green Beret who served in the Special Forces in Desert Storm, Afghanistan, and Iraq. A paramedic since the age of 16, Antonori served as a paramedic and paramedic trainer at various times during his 20-year military career. From 1996 to 2000, he worked alongside paramedics and emergency medical technicians in New York City and Tampa, Florida, under a program that allowed military paramedics to work and train for several weeks at a time within or with civilian EMTs. Antonori currently works as a program manager in the aerospace defense industry, overseeing the development of hybrid robotic vehicles for the military. Also with us, David Bradley, a member of the Arizona State Legislature from 2003 to 2011, serving District 28 in Tucson at the time. He is a Navy veteran, having served in Iceland, Spain, and the East Coast in communications with Naval Security Group. Dave has been a chief executive officer for La Paloma Family Services, a nonprofit child welfare agency, for over 18 years. La Paloma has now merged with La Frontera, where Dave Bradley is now the chief development officer. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us. And first of all, I want to say thank you both for your service to this country, David and Frank. Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Let's begin with Frank Antonori. Frank, Senator Antonori, what is the defining issue in this campaign that separates you from your opponent?
Well, I would say the biggest is the economic and job creation approach that differs between the two of us. I have an approach that is based in fiscal policies that keep the state budget balanced and stable to create a stable environment for businesses to thrive, and creating an environment by reducing the regulatory and tax burden on businesses. And I would say that, you know, I won't speak for Dave, but I would say he has a significant different approach, because when we were in the legislature, when we had several jobs bills to try to get job creation going in the state of Arizona, I supported those efforts, and Dave opposed them for whatever his reasons were. He can explain those. But the reality is, this election's about creating economic opportunity and getting government out of the way to allow entrepreneurs and small businessmen to do what they do best, and that's grow and expand their business and hire people.
Representative Bradley, what about that? What is the defining issue? What separates you from Frank Antonori over here?
Well, I certainly think that jobs are a central issue, given the report yesterday that was in the Star about the level of poverty in this area. It's certainly an important a remedy to poverty is getting people to work, obviously. And we differ in our approaches to that. I think Frank will insist that his approach to the budget was one that is helpful to the state. I would argue that it would be the equivalent of my saying to my spouse, gee, honey, we have money in the bank. We paid off some credit cards, but I forgot to take care of the irrigation system in the front, so we lost all the plants. There's a hole in the roof, and I didn't attend to that, and that furniture's ruined. And I didn't attend to the car, and we don't have a car anymore because the engine froze up. So, yeah, we have money in the bank, but we destroyed the infrastructure of our home. And it's an illusion to think that we have money in the bank under those circumstances. So I think our approaches are going to be distinctly different in terms of how we want to build this economy. I think the crucial issue is the fact that the 13th largest economy in the world is right down the street from us. It's called Mexico. And we need to take advantage of that fact and bring jobs to this area by increasing trade with Mexico and working on those issues.
Representative Bradley, you'll get the next question. What is the question? Do you have one that you would like to ask your opponent at this point? Do you have something that you would like to ask Senator Antinori?
Well, you know, we haven't been together much during the course of the campaign at this point. So I would only say, you know, I've knocked on hundreds of doors, and I'm sure you have as well. There are a lot of people, frankly, that support you and are appreciative of your approach to problems. And sometimes your bombastic approach to things is, from their perspective, a good thing. There are people, however, there's a lot of folks that don't appreciate that as much. And some of those people work with you in the legislature. Some of those people work in the governor's office. Some people work here in the city in various positions, business folks in this city, who don't appreciate the way you approach things. So my question to you is, gee, does compromise – do you see it as a way to get to good public policy, or as the impression that you leave with folks a lot of the time is it's your way or the highway?
Well, that's, again, sort of a reality that has been created by people in town that disagree with a lot of the policies and approaches that I have. I would consider myself a principled individual. I have certain beliefs and values that I uphold and live by, and I stick to those values. And some people may disagree with those values, but there are certain things you don't compromise on. On the other side, there's a lot of things where I've worked with various people, both in the legislature and the governor's office. There's things we agree on, things we don't. We can work on the things we agree on and work together to get it through. And then, of course, there's going to be disagreements. Disagreements on how much money the state spends, how much we raise taxes, whether we raise taxes or not. And those are going to be spirited discussions. But I've worked with your colleague, Matt Hines. We passed several bills together. I helped Matt with several bills. I helped several other Democratic members of the legislature. Nancy Young Wright, just the other night, I heard, had talked about a bill that we worked on together with the National Rifle Association and the Humane Society. And we worked together to get that bill through. So I have a reputation. I was an Army sergeant in the Special Forces for 20 years of my life. I have a no BS approach to dealing with stuff. I don't have time for the pussyfooting around approach to dealing with things. I look people in the eye and I tell them the truth. And sometimes people can't handle the truth. They're a little hypersensitive, and that's too bad. I just look them in the eye and I give it to them straight. And I think people appreciate that.
Frank Antinori now gets a question to Representative Dave Bradley.
Well, my question is, you know, back in 2007 and 2008, the information with regard to the oncoming recession was pretty evident. Starting in July of 2007, we saw state revenue start to taper off, and then in 2008, that revenue started to decline. Yet, David, you and your colleagues in the legislature voted for two budgets, the FY 2008 budget and the FY 2009 budget, that were scored both by JLBC as being unbalanced. The FY 2008 was $800 million out of balance, and the FY 2009 was about $1.2 billion out of balance. And you ignored those evaluations from JLBC and went with, I guess, Governor Napolitano's opinion that they were technically balanced, and that has now turned out not to be the case. And you guys knowingly voted for two budgets that threw this state into a $3 billion deficit. And I want to know, why would you do something so fiscally irresponsible?
Well, thank you, Frank, for that question. I anticipated you asking that, as a matter of fact. Yeah, myself, along with the Senate President, your predecessor in the seat that you hold, voted for that budget. There are many people, you know, there are many pieces of input into the legislature. JLBC, appointed by the majority party, as you know, and has been in control of the majority party for over 50 years, is one source of information that we use. We also, at that time, of course, would use the governor's information. And I also listened to the public, the people that I represent, and what they wanted to do and how they wanted this state to operate. You know, I've been a CEO for 20 years. I know what it is to run a budget. I know what you have to do. Sometimes you have to borrow to build. You have to invest in other things. And you have to take risks. And we made those decisions based on the best information that we had available to us at that time. Unlike you guys who took in the last 2 years, decided to destroy the state with the illusion that you have money in the bank while the infrastructure at the same time is not being upheld. Now, as I mentioned before, it's the same – the analogy that I used about the house. You can't claim that you've saved the state while at the same time not being able to pay our bills by rolling over education funds, by cutting off funds for school buildings, by increasing the number of people, kids in the child welfare system, et cetera. It's an illusion to think that you have saved the budget.
But if I could just
take a break here.
Give me a minute. We've paved more state highway in the last 2 years than in the last 10 years in this state. Student performance in our public schools is going up, not down. And we've done more to help create jobs in this state than any other legislature in history. That was actually published by the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, said we've done more than any legislature in history to create jobs. So, I'm missing the state is burning down and crumbling down around us analogy, because I'd like to get some examples of where we see that happening.
Well, you do represent Tucson, even though you say you don't at times. And you might want to drive on some streets in Tucson.
I have never said, David, that I don't represent Tucson. I have said I represent all of Southern Arizona at the time in District 30. Mm-hmm. Tucson was 15% of my district. I have 85% of the district, which is Cochise County and Pinal County and all of Eastern Pima County to worry about too, just the 15% in Tucson. Mm-hmm. I cover and represent the entire district.
We're going to take a break right here. This is the LD10 State Senate debate on the Buckmaster Show. David Bradley and Frank Antonori going face-to-face on the program. We're going to take a break right here, hear from the Buckmaster Show sponsors. These are the people that make this program possible. Please support them. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. The annual Showcase of Homes event is coming up at Splendido, Oro Valley's all-inclusive community for adults 55 and better. That event is Tuesday, October 30th. Great opportunity to check out Splendido. 9 a.m., please RSVP and say you heard about it right here on the Bill Buckmaster Show. Please call 762-4090 or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Frank Antonori is with us, Republican running for State Senate in LD-10, and David Bradley, Democrat running in also for the LD-10 State Senate race. And gentlemen, let's now begin with a famous Buckmaster, let's set the record straight question. David Bradley gets this one now. Anything you'd like to set the record straight on, David Bradley? Anything that's been said about you by your opponent? This is your opportunity to clear the record as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, well, Frank and I, again, haven't been together very much. He didn't show up at the Star interview. He has his various reasons for doing that. He didn't respond to the various forms from the Republic, the Capital Times, or the Star. So, you know, I really haven't heard much from Frank about what he feels about me other than the comment he just made about my destroying the state along with a bunch of other people. I think, you know, the ego involved in that question in terms of how we work in the legislature, there are 90 members, and it's a little difficult for one person to be able to control that, but apparently I did. So, you know, just trying to clear up the fact that we all work together. You know, having been in the Navy, I get to use some nautical metaphors that we are we may not be in the same ship, but we are in the same seas, and we have to work together. And I think that's the key issue.
Okay, Frank Antonori, any set the record straight?
Well, here? I mean, you know, this reference that he implies that I can't work with other folks is totally inaccurate as well. Again, I helped Meg Burton Cahill get the only bill she ever had passed in the entire term she served in the legislature passed. It was a bill to help people with disabilities. The bill was being held up in the House by the Speaker at the time, and I helped to get it freed up and get it passed, and then I helped get the governor to sign it. By writing a letter to the governor asking her to help Meg out. And again, I've helped other Democrats. I helped Matt Hines a lot. Matt Hines and I worked on a bill that allowed, believe it or not, alcohol to be sold before 10 o'clock on Sunday, which actually brought money into the state. And Matt was rewarded by his colleagues in the Democratic caucus by firing him from his whip position because he was getting too friendly with guys like me and other Republicans, and he was being effective. You know, we work across the aisle. I worked with several people in the Senate minority on several bills, and David Shapiro will tell you that he's talked with me a lot. So that's a total misconception. There are some things, however, that we can't compromise on, and those are out-of-control spending and tax increases that cripple the economy of the state. And those things I just won't budge on, and we fight hard to keep the state on sound fiscal ground, and I will continue to do so.
Senator Antonori, are you in favor, yes or no, on the proposition that would have the dedicated sales tax increase for education?
No,
yes or no?
No. I oppose to a budgeting by ballot initiative that gives $1 billion a year to special interest groups to spend it the way they want without any legislative or government oversight.
And David Bradley, yes or no on that proposition?
Yes, I'm in support of it. It's really another example of why the legislature – because the legislature cannot function, that we end up with these initiatives. And the inability, unwillingness of the leadership of the legislature in the last 30 years, but more specifically in the last few years, to deal with the issue of comprehensive tax reform, because as soon as you say the word reform, the first thing they say is he's talking about increases and therefore we're not going to deal with it. And because they won't deal with it, that's why these things, these initiatives happen, and this is the only opportunity that we have to increase resources for our schools.
See, that's not exactly true. I actually worked with Chad Campbell on a comprehensive tax reform effort that both sides of the aisle ended up rejecting, both my side and his side. I had a flat income tax program. Chad had an aspect with regard to the change in the sales tax and property taxes, and we could not get anybody from either side to work on it for some of the reasons that David said. But the reality is we're trying. I actually introduced a bill that would try to put a flat tax into place to do tax reform. I've offered tax reform measures, and you know, there's just opposition from both sides, and that was heavily opposed by the Democratic Party.
Senator Antinori, is the state in good shape financially coming into the next legislative session, or are we going to be in trouble down the road when we have this the current sales tax increase for education sunsets, I believe, in the middle of next year?
We did something that no legislature's done before. We programmed a budget for the next 3 years. In that program budget, we assumed that the 1 cent sales tax would go away because the governor and many people had promised it was a temporary sales tax. So for the 2015 budget, we did not include, and the 2014 budget, we did not include the revenue from that tax. So the budget, the 2014 budget is balanced without the 1 cent sales tax, negating the need for it. So yes, we are coming out of a recession. We are in good shape. We are not out of the woods yet, and we've got to prevent things from throwing the state back into recession and driving it back into the ditch like it was back in 2009 when we had a $3 billion deficit and we piled up almost $2 billion in debt.
Representative Bradley, do you see it differently?
Yes, of course. We have some serious problems, and if this 1 cent sales tax doesn't pass, then our problems are going to be exacerbated significantly. Again, you know, whether you like it or not, when you have 15,000 kids in the child welfare system, when you only had 9 before, when you have more kids trying to get on kids care before, you're trying to get more. You can't get adults into the medical system at all. You know, this. It's a folly to think that we're not going to have to pay the piper, and it's going to the debt on this is going to be dwarf our previous problems, and it's because we are unwilling to look forward, to plan ahead, and to have a tax reform that is significant enough to deal with these issues that we are inevitably going to deal with.
We're going to go into your closing statements right now. Take about a minute and a half to give us a final word from former State Representative David Bradley, Democrat in LD-10 for State Senate. Go ahead, Mr. Bradley.
Thank you, Bill, and thanks, Frank, for this entertaining half hour. I grew up here in Arizona. I graduated from high school in this district. My 3 sons graduated from high school in this district, and my daughter is a junior in high school in this district. I went into the Navy, came back, and worked in child welfare and mental health services for the last 30 years here in Tucson in southern Arizona. I'm committed to this community, and I want to ensure that the future for my 4 children, my 6 grandchildren, they have the opportunities that I've had during the course of my time in Arizona. You know, I'm entering my 7th decade. You know, I'm not on death's door, but time is marching on. And the city, you know, this state is going to increase in population by 5 to 6 times. From Kingman to Nogales is in essence going to be a city. And we have to prepare for the future. We have to prepare so the people who follow us have air to breathe, water to drink, an educational system that prepares them for the 21st and the 22nd century. And we have to have a healthcare system that leaves no one behind. And that's what I want to work for in the legislature, is to plan ahead for that future so that those who follow us can have the opportunities that I've had.
State Senator Frank Antinori, go ahead.
Well, thanks Bill, for having this. This is great, and I love the opportunity to talk to folks. The reality is that we had a sort of an approach to deal with the financial health of this state that was based on a revenue that didn't exist. Therefore, the legislature back in 2007, 2008, and 2009 spent money that it didn't have. and it resulted in a huge budget crisis that the state was faced. And because of that, a lot of people were hurt. Had we been able to control spending back in 2008 and had not voted for two unbalanced budgets that threw the state into the financial ditch, we would have not had to make the serious decisions that we had to make to save this state from eventual bankruptcy. The treasurer at the time, Dean Martin, had predicted we were about 6 months out. Janet Napolitano called him Chicken Little for it, but guess what? Who was right and who was wrong? Dean Martin was right and Janet Napolitano was wrong. The state went into the financial ditch. We had a huge budget deficit that caused a ripple through the entire state's economy. You know, I would submit that that legislature that David was a part of and who he, along with every single Democrat and eight fiscally irresponsible Republicans, most of which are not in office now because they voted for that budget, helped create the conditions that put a lot of the people that he talks about on welfare and in this system. I want to get people back to work. I don't want people on government services. I want to create jobs. I want the opportunity for people to get off of welfare and become productive members of society and have some honor and respect rather than be a dependent of government.
Frank Antonori, David Bradley, thank you both very much. All of our face-to-face debates here on the Buckmaster Show are being archived, very easy to use. Go to kvoi.com. And, of course, we also have them posted at my website, buckmastershow.com. And again, Dave Bradley and Frank Antonori, thank you, gentlemen, for being with us.
Anytime.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is warning that Iran will have enough enriched uranium to make a nuclear bomb by next summer. Speaking before the UN today, Netanyahu said the world must draw a clear red line to make Iran back down from its nuclear plans. Syrian opposition activists say rebel fighters have launched a new drive to push regime forces out of Syria's largest city, Aleppo. There are a lot of military service members and veterans in Virginia, and both President Obama and Mitt Romney have been trying to win their support today, campaigning in the state. A prosecutor says a casino bus driver's reckless behavior caused a crash in New York last year in which 15 people died. The Dow up 84 points. More details at srnnews.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
.1234. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It's time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of over 60 companies in the Tucson region, representing 17,000 jobs with a $2.3 billion economic impact. For more information, visit TRIO, that's TREOAZ.org. And joining me on the Buckmaster Show live line, Joe Snell. Mr. Snell is the president and CEO of TRIO. Joe, how are you today?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. And the fiscal year for TRIO began July the 1st. You hit a home run, I think, with Accelerate Technology, a corporation out of Denver, announcing they were going to make that move from Denver to Tucson. The day of the announcement, we were lucky enough to have here on the show the CEO of Accelerate, and he talked a little bit about the plans. Since that happened about 6 or 7 weeks ago, can you give us an update on the timeline?
Well, they're actually, first I'd say it was, great news for the Tucson region. You know, the issue, and there was a story that broke this week where Tucson was ranked as in top 10 in poverty. And, not great news. The reality is that, Bill, as you know, that we've always hovered with a fair number of people that make below the national average.
And I was going to say, Joe, that I've been in this town for almost 25 years, and I can't ever remember a Census Bureau not saying that we were not in the top 10 when it comes to Census Bureau showing the terms of people living in poverty. I'm not saying it's right, but it is a reality.
It definitely is, and one of the reasons TRIO was established is to sell the assets of this community, but with particular focus on helping facilitate the creation of high paying, high wage, high skilled jobs. So Accelerate, was quite a nice win because the wages are substantially above the national average, and they have very high skilled people. And it's what we need. We need to build around these clusters, and we're starting to really see some critical mass in the medical device or the diagnostics field, which we think we can win in long term. And they're off to a great start. They've already hired several people, and I know they're working hard. Already got some temporary space going, and should by January be in their new space. And hired close to 100 people. So it was great news, and we got to see more of those.
Joe Snell is with us, the head of TRIO, and TRIO has. Many of our listeners probably noticed the piece in the paper that TRIO has announced that there is a restructuring going on. What's this all about? What's the bottom line to this, Joe Snell?
Yeah, well, this is just part of our evolution. It's been in the works for some time. When TRIO was created, and we were created again, as I said, to facilitate, not to create, but to facilitate, to act as a marketing agency and sell this community to create higher wage jobs, we were funded 100% by the public sector. And, you know, we phased that over time. By 2009, we recognized that, you know, you can't do economic development without the engagement of the top private sector leaders and academic leaders. So we went through a restructuring at that point and brought on an awful lot of people onto the board, really most of the top leadership in Southern Arizona to serve on that, because we need some smart minds to tackle these big problems. And so the mix was different. Our funding came down to, you know, 60-40 public, private, 60% private, 40% public. But we had some flaws even with that evolution. And one of the key flaws was not everybody under that structure was able to participate. An example would be a city of South Tucson, or even the local tribes, that if they didn't pay under that structure, they couldn't participate. And we can't do that either. We have to have all the communities participating. We were really seeing some parochial trends where cities that were participating were, you know, what have you done for us specifically? And this is really a regional play with regional metrics. And it was, you know, letting us not be as productive as we could. So a lot of time has been discussed of, let's create a new model with a couple key principles. One, create greater access for all of our municipal partners. And so under the new model, nothing really changes. All the mayors are invited to serve on the board of directors, which is the governing board of TRIO, and have full say in that. And we act as a public, you know, a partner with those public agencies. The second piece, something that's been really sticking in our craw for a while, is the need to create new tools that will increase our capacity to compete, and in new tools on the local level, incentives in particular. And historically, we've not had any tools at the local municipal level. So we don't. Part of this structure is, you know, we're in a fortunate position where the private sector is going to fund the vast majority of this. And what we are really hoping is that the cities, with the money they were putting into TRIO, that they would now use that money. We don't want them to just spend it willy-nilly. Of course, they wouldn't. But we want them to take that money, set it aside, so that they can apply it to companies like Accelerate. And we have a tool to work with. And we think that will give us a competitive advantage. And so that's really, in simplest form, what this is all about.
So the private sector, in the case of the city of Tucson, where there was about 40% of TRIO's funding, they have stepped up to take care of that?
Yes. We will still have some public money in. The private sector will contribute 75% of the funding for TRIO, and then 25% will come from the public sector in the form of the Pima County.
Is that a model that's being used in other economic development agencies around the country?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's you know, it's a variation of a model. I think there's some are all private, some are all public. The best ones work when they're public and private, but there's a lot of pressure on the public sector communities in this recession. A lot of needs out there, and I think this is a model that a lot of groups are going for, is the supermajority being funded by the private sector. So we, and more importantly, it fits this community very well.
What are you looking for now as you lay out the goals here? I know you have your annual meeting coming up to talk about what's ahead here for TRIO in the coming year. Give us an idea of what's at stake here.
Yeah, we are focusing on three main areas for this year. We're going to continue the role of trying to facilitate high-wage jobs. And to do that, we're going to continue to leverage our California efforts. We have a sales effort in California that we launched a few years ago in partnership with Phoenix and Flagstaff. And we're going to continue that. Matter of fact, a little heads up, Bill. I hope everybody reads the paper or listens to you and watches TV on Tuesday morning, because we are going to be announcing a relocation of a company next week that is very significant and high wage employer, high skilled. So we're going to continue to leverage that California relationship. Those dividends are paying off for us. We're going to increase our focus on foreign direct investment and trade. We really believe that, you know, Mexico is a real blooming world player, a blossoming market, So we've been doing a lot of work and really following the mayor's lead, who's done great work on this, to create binational marketing opportunities with Mexico. We put our toe into that last year. We're going to do more of that. We're also opening a China sales office. We think Asia has some real potential for us. We've done well in this community with foreign direct investment with companies like Sanofi and Roche and the solar companies in La Castaña. So we're going to continue that in the job front. We're going to continue to be aggressive to market this region as a business center. You know, we're known as a place for tourism. We're known as a place for great golf and all the sunshine, but not necessarily on the national radar screen as a place to do business. So we're going to spend a lot of time, as we always do, through national PR efforts of getting our reputation out there as a business center in directly going to groups, site selectors, and these real estate influencers that make most of these decisions. And then finally, we're going to continue to increase our efforts to improve our competitiveness. And I just mentioned one issue, increasing our toolbox will help. We are developing and will announce a very tactical bioscience strategy that we don't have. We've really narrowed down. We've taken some of the best minds in the region to come up with that, so we know exactly where to apply our money. So those kind of things. So those are the three efforts, and I guess the last is we're going to be a good partner and help our public sector partner and agencies and help them with recommendations, suggestions of where to put their investment so that we get a return on that investment and help us better compete.
Joe Snell, thank you very much. We'll look for that announcement on Tuesday. Can you tell us what sector that is?
Aerospace.
Aerospace sector. Coming up, an announcement from TRIO on Tuesday morning. Joe Snell, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
For more information about TRIO, visit TREO, that's TREOAZ.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has 2 locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
$12.50 on the Buckmaster Show. Arts, hiking, birding, exploring the Muggione Ghost Town, Silver City's historic downtown. Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. What a great getaway. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. They've got a great festival coming up. If you've ever been over there to Pinos Altos, what a neat community just north. I think it's about 6 or 7 miles north of Silver City. Their festival is coming up on October the 6th. Lots of places to stay in the Silver area, Spirit Canyon Lodge, Wilderness Lodge, Agave Ridge Retreat, just to name a few. For more information, go to their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. We're delighted to have them as a sponsor of the Buckmaster Show. Joining us now, Randy Seraglio of the Center for Biological Diversity, which is based here in Tucson. Randy, how are you?
Good. How are you, Bill?
Doing real well. I think the center at one time was actually based over in Silver.
Yeah, that was our birthplace, yeah. Actually, over there in the Gila. It's a beautiful area, wolf country, jaguar country, and we still have someone, ironically enough, in Pinos Altos. And I've
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been there to visit him a few times.
And that's a neat community. It's very 7,000-foot elevation.
Yeah, very cool little town there.
Yeah, very neat. There was a letter op-ed piece in today's Star from a John Lilly. He's a Lutheran pastor in Tucson, and I think he speaks for those who are opposed to the Rosemont Mine when he says, "Once an open-pit mine of this scale has begun, no amount of reclamation effort will bring back the pristine character of the Santa Ritas."
Well, it's true. You know, mining reclamation is very limited, even in the best cases. It never returns the land to the shape that it was in before. And in most cases, it's useless as wildlife habitat and for recreational opportunities as well after such a huge and damaging large-scale production as an open-pit mine.
Where are we right now on the timeline for the mine?
Well, the Coronado
– the hoops that Rosemont still must jump through.
Yes, the flaming hoops that Rosemont is attempting to jump through. You know, the Coronado National Forest has a huge decision in front of them. They've been told by the Environmental Protection Agency and by many, many local citizens, thousands of local citizens here in southern Arizona, that their environmental impact statement is wholly inadequate, misses the boat on a lot of very important issues regarding our air quality, our water quality, traffic issues and safety issues on Highway 83, and of course the just tremendous impacts to wildlife and the character of the Santa Rita Mountains. They have said recently they'll decide by December whether or not they're going to go back and redo at least portions of the environmental impact statement. And of course, we believe at the center that they're legally obligated to do so. There's very clear case law and history on that. So they're vulnerable if they don't, I think. So we'll see what they do.
But if they did have to go back, that
that would take time, wouldn't it?
Well, sure. And that's part of the issue is that these things can take as long as 10 years, even without a large public outcry like we have here in southern Arizona. And that's because it's such a complex proposal. It affects so many different things, public health and safety, you know, wildlife issues across the board, that it takes a lot of analysis and a lot of work to determine what the real impacts of that proposed mine will be. And Rosemont and some local politicians have been pressuring the Forest Service to speed that process up. And in responding to that pressure, they released an inadequate document. They cut a lot of corners and missed a lot of things.
Randy Seraglio is with us from the Center for Biological Diversity. If you would like to join in the conversation, we could take a quick call or two on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040, 790-2040. What about the latest issue that has come up concerning wildlife?
Well, the Fish and Wildlife Service proposed 800,000 acres for the jaguar as critical habitat to ensure its recovery in the United States. And that is scattered throughout the Sky Islands of southern Arizona and the very southernmost portion of the Boot Heel of New Mexico. And that's a great proposal, and it will really help the jaguar recolonize the places that it lived for thousands of years here in southern Arizona in the southwest. And it was very exciting to us that the Fish and Wildlife Service specifically identified the Rosemont mine as a major threat to the jaguar. That mine would be sited in a major wildlife corridor that there's no doubt jaguar would use to recolonize the Sky Islands in southern Arizona. Of course, we've had sightings in recent years. We've had photographs. We know these animals are trying to come back here. There's good habitat for them here. The only reason they were exterminated in the United States was because of predator control programs. They were actively hunted and killed. They were hunted out of Arizona.
I think was that around the turn of the last century or something?
Yeah, and in fact, between 1917 and 1920, there were 4 jaguars killed in the Santa Rita Mountains alone, including a female. So we know that that is prime jaguar habitat, and we know that they will use it if given the opportunity. So I would urge everyone to make comments. The public comment deadline is October 19th. You can go to our website, biologicaldiversity.org, and find more information about the jaguar. We should have a report up tomorrow or the next day on the critical habitat proposal if you'd like more information on that. And the proposal itself is there, which has addresses that you can use to contact Fish and Wildlife and urge them to protect as much habitat as possible for the American jaguar.
There were a couple of stories in the Star about Rosemont just this week. One of the stories from I think the reporter was Tony Davis. Rosemont backs off water use statement. The other story was Rosemont reduces traffic estimate. Your response to that?
Well, for 5 years now, this proposal from Rosemont has been shifting like the sand dunes of the Sahara. And, every time you turn around, there's something new, something different. There's more of this kind of copper. There's less of that. We're going to do it this way. We're going to do it that way. And that's another reason why the environmental impact statement really needs to be redone. This has changed so much in the last few years. Every time Rosemont needs a new PR opportunity, they come up with some new thing they can throw on the wall, it seems. And, for us, it doesn't matter how you rearrange the deck chairs on this Titanic. It's going to go down.
The traffic estimate, what was your response to that? There would be less traffic is what Rosemont was saying, reducing truck traffic.
In their original proposal, they had all these wildly inflated figures about carpooling and, how everybody would ride down there together and, there wouldn't be much. And, of course, the truck traffic is a whole nother issue. These huge mining trucks on a narrow, winding road with scenic character. It is the gateway to the Sonoita Patagonia area. It's an economic lifeline for them. There are already accidents and fatalities on that road, and now you're going to have massive mining trucks every 15, 20 minutes going up and down that road. It's an extremely dangerous situation. And, Rosemont revised the numbers downward a little bit. It's just it's just basically PR.
Randy Seraglio is with us from the Center for Biological Diversity. We're talking about the proposed Rosemont Mine. So the environmental impact statement may need to be rewritten. I haven't heard much lately, Randy, about the U.S. Corps of Engineers, because that's one of the key permits that would be necessary before Rosemont could start.
Yes, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is obligated to protect the waters of the United States, and Davidson Canyon has been designated an outstanding water of Arizona. Scenic Creek is a very important resource. There are springs in that area, just dozens and dozens of springs that could be affected. There's surface waters that support leopard frogs and other important wildlife, and of course, many, many bird species rely on those areas for survival. And the Corps of Engineers has a important decision to make, and we have not heard anything from them. But I anticipate sooner or later they're going to come out with a decision on this. And it's, you know, to me, kind of a no-brainer. I mean, there's not really any way to protect those areas and still allow the Rosemont open-pit copper mine to proceed. Those two are just fundamentally in conflict with each other.
We shall see. And the Rosemont first announced this, what, back in 2000, what?
I think it was proposal. 2007.
So this is now into its...
It might have been 06 when they acquired the land.
5 or 6 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's been going for at least 5 years now.
Randy Seraglio from the Center for Biological Diversity, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill.
The bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. John C. Scott Show comes up at 4 o'clock this afternoon on KVOI. Then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. And we want to tell you that all of the Buckmaster Show face-to-face debates, all of our series at KVOI.com, we've got them all archived for you, or you can go to them at BuckmasterShow.com. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.